All right, welcome everybody to Every Second Matters for November 2017. We're broadcasting this on the Smeggy 42 YouTube channel and simulcasting over on gunchannels.com/everysecondmatters. Feel free to watch along, comment. We're watching the comments everywhere, taking suggestions from the audience, whatnot. If you guys want a link, let me know over on Gun Channels. And we'll send that out to you. And all right, Every Second Matters is a Second Amendment awareness campaign, grassroots. Yeah. And we get together second of the month every month on the second, talk about gun laws and things that have happened over the past month, things that are coming up, all that kind of good stuff, anything freedom related. So I guess I will introduce the people we have here right now, and then we'll get started here. So we have Gun News Network, also known as Moon. What's going on, buddy?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And then next we got Gun Websites, Mr. G-Webs. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for hosting.
Yeah, no problem. And then my partner in crime in our other endeavor, Mr. Nightstrike.
Hey, thanks for the invite.
No problem, no problem. And then we have Mr. Ellis, Outlaw Hatfield. What's going on, dude?
Hey man, thanks for the invite. I really wasn't expecting it. I do appreciate it.
Well, you were active over on Gun Channels. I figure if you got something to add to the conversation, you're more than welcome. So, we've got some other links out there. People might be jumping in later. But I'm just going to open it up here and see to you guys what's happened this past month.
I think the biggest thing as far as activism is Matt Never Enough Ammo started that Second Amendment Capitol rally, and that was just sort of a idea he decided to start jumping on and in the chat one day, and started working on it, and it is doing pretty good, having a pretty good reaction, pretty good success so far.
Right. Yep. That's going to be on November 5th, which is this Sunday coming up. All 50 state capitals. That's what he's aiming for. He set up a thing over on Facebook, made an event for each state. Some people have really grabbed the ball and ran with it. And, other states could still use some help organizing and have some people showing up. So it'll be real interesting to see how that all works out. I'm definitely planning on going to the Michigan one. I know there's like three or four Gun Channels members that have also said they're going to be there, so it should be pretty good. I'm gonna try and go live from there and all that kind of stuff. So I'm guessing that Arizona's probably going to have a pretty good turnout from Gun Channels. I know we have a lot of members from that state as well.
Don't you love the dead air?
No, not really, not at all.
I don't either.
Right, so there's no need to keep talking about it. We can continue to chat about what else went on this month, which was Maggie's question, right?
Yeah, well, I think the other thing, if we're looking into the past, I think the big thing was the whole trigger modification device. And that was introduced. There were some turncoat Republicans that introduced one bill and then co-sponsored the other one and all that. That's definitely something to still keep an eye on, right? I mean, it's not officially dead.
And then it went downhill from there, because they added. They also tried to introduce a magazine, a magazine bill too. So.
Right, yeah, that's the thing is that the problem with that law. I mean, if you watch the mainstream media, they're gonna call it like the bump fire ban or whatever, right? And we all know where they're getting that from. But the language of the bill is anything that increases the rate of fire, and that's very scary because that could be just about anything. Lighter springs, you know, polished triggers, like all sorts of stuff. And so to call it like the bump stock ban, which a lot of people have been doing, even if they're anti it, they're like, hey, this bump stock ban's dumb. I think it's dangerous because we're falling into what the anti-gunners want us to do is when we're talking to maybe people in the middle or, you know, the type of people that don't really care that much about certain types of guns. They only like the type that they have. They're going to sit there and hear that and say, well, I don't have a stupid bump stock. Who cares? And the thing is, once the, you know, if it passes and they start coming after these guys like match triggers, they're going to be like, well, wait a minute. I thought it was just bump stocks. And it's too late at that point to figure out, nope, it's not just that.
And then that rolled into the whole division in the YouTube gun community, which I didn't think was a division. I thought it was more of, okay, now we know where these people stand on this subject, and it was like an educational thing.
It's like some guys would
rather... Most people end up falling on our side in the end on these issues because they get it explained to them. The repercussions of giving up those liberties. Or they need to be reminded. So I thought that was like needed and not as dramatic as everybody made it out to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe at first it was kind of needed. Maybe, you know, call out a couple different people or whatever. I just feel like that kind of dragged on, and that did not help our cause for, you know, Second Amendment activism. When we're fighting each other, you know, Bloomberg and Feinstein and all them people over there, just sit back and rub their hands together and say, ha-ha, we got another one, because we called it this, and we got them all worked up, and now we got people fighting back and forth, instead of fighting the true enemy, which are these bills that have been introduced.
Yeah.
There was also some state-level stuff for video, and I don't know, maybe we can have someone play it. I'm not good with, like, my speakers don't work good, so hopefully someone else can do that for a minute. But I do remember one of them was Illinois passed a similar thing with the whole rate of fire increase ban, and that actually got voted down, so that was pretty good. That was cool. But I think it's Massachusetts still has one that's alive. I guess I should have my tabs open here, but I opened them all up for my video earlier, and then I closed them all down. So, trying to think, what else happened this past month? Or more, you know, again, what's happening in the future. So, we mentioned the rally thing. I wouldn't mind talking a little bit more about that as far as if you guys know for your particular states, if you have certain speakers lined up or, like, you know, kind of how organized is it?
I've actually been trying to get a hold of different organizations.
I've been speaking with the government today. The thing is, the person we were supposed to contact to get the permit, it was just basically on vacation all week and just got back today. So, they did get the application, and I should know tomorrow whether we're going to be able to have it at the Capitol or not. And if not, then we're going to have to figure out where we're going to have to hold it somewhere else.
There's no law that says you can't have it at the Capitol. Whether they're going to tell you is if you can have a giant event. They can't stop people from getting together, period. They can tell people they can't have a giant rally or something, but 12 people show up. They can't stop 12 people from showing up at a state Capitol.
Yeah, there was I forget what state that was. Someone was talking about it where it was just that, right? They told them they couldn't have like a protest or a rally or whatever, because of, I think it was insurance and stuff. But what the people were saying is like, they can't stop us from walking up and down the sidewalk. You know what I mean? Like, that's, it is public land. And as long as they're not congregating in a certain area and just standing around, they're pretty sure they can't do anything to them. So, yeah, you can at least show up and, you know, show your support. Like I said, it might not have, like, a bunch of speakers and, like, be a whole big super organized thing. But
remember, this isn't an exercise in, like, Matt figured out how to get 50 state capitol rallies going. Matt started an idea, a concept that a bunch of people who are interested in activism, right, and interested in creating activism can go out and figure out these things. So I guess to me, it doesn't seem like it's an answer to go, oh, it's difficult, so let's not do it. It's supposed to be an effort, and let's figure out how to make this happen so that going down the road, it's not the first time we've ever considered something like this. If we really need one of these for something like that happen in 12, you know, nobody has to go out and figure this stuff out for the first time. So if there's challenges and you're concerned that not enough people are going to show up, then I say that's all the more reason to go. If they're saying you can't be there, then it's definitely all the more reason to go. Like Smiggy said, you know, it can't stop you from existing in your capital. It's your capital. They, if you mention it incorrectly to them, or you describe it as some sort of a, you know, bunch of people with guns are going to stand out front of your capital, you know, tell us where we
can do that's against state law.
Again, if you describe it as something that's against state law, how about that? Then you can expect an answer that's going to be abrupt and not great. So if, you know, part of this is an exercise in learning how to approach the people that are the gatekeepers or the, you know, key holders.
Yeah, and you're right. I could just go and stand out on the sidewalks and, you know, in a way that doesn't obstruct people from walking on the sidewalks. I could do that, yes. But organizing event, this is my first time trying to do this. So I'm in completely new territory. You know, I am out of my element in this. So just don't jump down my throat because of it, because I'm having problems, because I've never done this.
Jumping down your throat, number one, you talk so fast that people have to talk loud to get in there. So no one's yelling at you and no one's scolding you for it. However, I am going to urge you to not give up just because you got one phone call from one guy, and then to start telling people we can't meet at the Capitol. That's not the kind of practice we're looking for, and how not to do something. We're looking for practice on how to do it, right?
Well, I'm saying we can't meet at that specific area. And I'm not saying we can't meet at the Capitol, anywhere in the Capitol. I'm just saying at that specific place where we're trying to get a permit for, we won't be able to meet there. That's all I'm saying.
Well, one of the things that this is perfect example of what I was thinking of the other day when we were talking about it, and I'd be really interested after the fact, after this happens, of having some type of get together with the people that were like spearheading their states and talk about challenges they faced, how they overcame them, what, you know, maybe they could do better in the future, and really do some brainstorming stuff and really practice, you know, how to do this kind of thing. Because if we can get out there with, this was fairly short notice, and we get decent turnout in, you know, half of the states, and the other half, maybe there's a couple people or whatever. Well, that can still be a learning experience. And we can say, all right, this one event, you know, totally rocked. Like, it was the best one out of all of them. What'd they do different? What do they do better, and how can we try and do the same thing so that if there is something that's, you know, much more pressing and much more important, although obviously the Second Amendment's always important, but, you know, from what I can see from the political spectrum, it's still under attack, but it's not as bad as it was like the beginning of 13. And we did a good job in 13 kind of, you know, fighting back and pushing back against that stuff. So anyways, if we can learn lessons from this, and I'll put a call out there, I'll be more than willing to try and coordinate all the people after the fact, and we'll do a chat and get people in, rotate people out, whatever, invite them onto Every Second Matters, you know, something. Just
I think learn from it,
get it better.
It's good for networking.
Maybe write up a how-to on how to hold a lobby, a rally for an event.
Well, it's good This is a good grassroots effort, since typically big rallies at the Capitol, like in 2013, there were press packets and mediators between the citizenry and law enforcement. So they knew where to go, where to march, what not to do, and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'd like to call it open source. I didn't know if that's what Matt would put a call out for, but it's like open source activism, where you can, like, have a bunch of different people have different ideas, and or there's people that happen to be listening that have done it before and know how to organize these things. But I know that in the past, trying to organize these events by yourself is not easy. So just getting the word out, like he has on Facebook and Instagram, has been pretty good for one person.
Yeah, plus
all the people sharing.
Well, this is definitely the definition of grassroots, and that's one of the things for sure that I'm looking forward to, is that, you know, whoever shows up, they're going to be good resource. They're going to be, you know, activists, and I would love to network them and, you know, get contact information and all that kind of stuff. So let's see. What did Mr. Knives post out here? H.R. 4052, Keep Americans Safe Act. Why do I feel like that name isn't... prohibit the transfer or possession of large capacity ammunition feeding devices and for other purposes. I don't get what that doesn't add anything to the sentence. I don't get the "and for other purposes" part. So, yeah, ammo more than 10 rounds. Let's see, what are the actions on it? Where is it right now? Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, Homeland Security. So it's sitting in a subcommittee, which we all know can sometimes sit there forever. Sometimes it can vote it on real quick.
Yep.
So, and that was on the 19th of October. It went to the subcommittee. So, anyways, going back to the rally, I did post the link out there to the Facebook page. You can go there and then click on events and go to your state and talk with people. So,
why does it say "and for other purposes"? That makes no. It's not even a part of the sentence or anything.
I don't. That's yeah, exactly. That's I don't understand why that prohibit from owning or transferring, you know, large capacity and for other purposes. What does that mean?
Like a freaking typo. And then they didn't even like edit it and just sent it off to be a law.
Right. Or do they do that on purpose? Because then
that doesn't qualify anything to prohibit. So it's a law, I guess is what it's talking about, to prohibit the transfer or possession and for other purposes. So what is that? To prohibit the transfer. Oh, to prohibit the transfer, possession, or other purposes? Like, you can't even, I don't know how they could be more conclude, more, like, how can they make possession and it doesn't qualify anything? So possession is possession. So transfer is future possession. Possession is possession. I don't know.
Well, how that sentence is describing what this bill does. So it prohibits, you know, blah, 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 and other purposes. So there's other stuff in here, which is either, you know, you really have to get into every little change. Sometimes they change grammar or they update things. And that's so the bill is doing the prohibiting, but the bill is also doing other purposes, like defining what a large capacity ammunition feeding device is.
4052 is to go in here and edit so that it prohibits transfer and possession of things and other things.
Right. So
like, we're going to go in here and infringe on this and whatever else we feel like, and some other things that are none of your business that we're not going to necessarily describe. Right.
Yeah, that's the thing when you start reading the actual thing, and that's where lawyer speak comes in, which I know it can be dry and boring, but it's, I think, important to figure out what they're actually doing. So, you know, it's going to amend this by inserting paragraph 29, and then it lists like what that is. And then it goes to, you know, section 922 is amended by inserting subsection U, which is blah, 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 blah. And then this, and then that, you know, so file under the title, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I guess that's just the way bills are written. So let's see, we got another one here. New York Post gun per, I'm saying that's probably supposed to be month. Oh, no, gun permits may soon come with a health warning. Thanks, Knives, for putting in some different articles here. So New York City is now issuing written warnings that apply for those applying for firearm permits. Does it have the actual... Does it actually say what it's going to say? No, it doesn't.
Firearms can be dangerous to your health.
That's basically, I mean, they're saying it's, you know, the City Council Public Safety Committee voted 6-1 to require NYPD to hand out written warnings about the risk of gun ownership to new applicants for firearms permit. And just like the Surgeon General warnings on the side of a pack of cigarettes, you know, it's going to be the first step in changing the public conversation. Some councilwoman said, who co-sponsored the bill. So it doesn't say what the warning's actually going to say, but I think that's a good point, is that, you know, they're looking at this is the first step to start a conversation. I look at it as this is the first step into kind of brainwashing people a little bit. Because if you're always telling them how dangerous guns are, if you're always telling them, you know, be careful, these are dangerous, blah, 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 it's going to get that into people's heads. Now they might still get a firearm to, you know, go out and train or to carry it or other sorts of things, because kind of subconsciously they're thinking, well, guns are dangerous. I mean, even the government says so. So yeah, they want to start a conversation, but they want to steer that conversation into what they want to talk about. And it can't be further from the truth. I mean, you know, gun accidents have been going down steadily. Gun violence has been going down steadily. Like, we have more guns in this country than ever before, and we are safer than ever before. So this entire narrative, like, guns are evil and scary and dangerous, is completely false. There's a difference between having, you know, a sense of respect for a firearm. You know, I remember as a child, my dad taught me to respect firearms as, you know, the potential of an accident or whatever. You know, they're not toys. You do have to treat them with, you know, full knowledge of what they are capable of. But by doing so, you've taken away all of that risk. So that's just, but again, that's what the anti-gun people like to do, is they try and steer the narrative and get their talking points. You know, they want people talking about or thinking about, you know, how dangerous something is, when, you know, it should come with a warning, being like, you know, warning, this might save your life. In fact, it's more likely to save your life than you are to hurt yourself with it. Enjoy.
It's fear mongering. It's fear mongering at its best. You know, you're going to take an inanimate object and they're going to say, well, if you have one of these, you could end up getting hurt. Well, you know what? If you have a butcher knife in your kitchen, chances are you're going to cut your finger. It's nuts.
The only warning. This is telling you what is some of the people that lobby for gun control. And this is exactly one of the people that never gets called out. And this is insurance. This is an insurance scam.
The only warning on a gun should be warning, gun ownership is addictive.
So we got Ghost out there on the YouTube side. I sent you a link if you want to join in, but he's got another thing showing up here. HR 3576. Blah, 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 to amend Title 18, limit authority of state and localities to regulate conduct or impose penalties or taxes in relation to rifles or shotguns. Well, that's interesting. I mean, I guess that'd be a pro-gun bill then. I wonder why it doesn't include handguns. But if that's the case, would that get rid of some of these state level, like, quote unquote, assault weapon bans? Because that's a way of regulating a rifle. I'm searching for it right now here. Oh, I've clicked on this before. Okay. The SAGA Act.
Well, that was...
Didn't we go over that on hit or miss at one point?
It's possible. Looks like the last thing that happened was in September, where it was referred to Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, Homeland Security. So I guess that didn't really happen in October, but it's a good reminder. It's still out there. You know, I'll say it again, like I say all the time, write your peoples, write your representatives and senators and all that stuff, and tell them what you want them to do. And especially if you can name something specifically, be like, hey, you're in this subcommittee. How about you pass the thing and send it out to the main, send it out to the main floor. So it's important to keep that all in mind. There was something else Knives had out here, wasn't there? Another one from the firearm policy, which they've been seeing them a lot more. Firearm Policy Coalition, they're definitely stepping up. Four gun rights groups submit to Supreme Court urging review of awful Ninth Circuit ruling that upheld 10-day waiting period. All right, so the Council for Civil Rights Advocacy Organization, Firearm Policy Coalition, Firearm Policy Foundation, Madison Society Foundation, and Gun Owners of California have filed a friend of court brief to the U.S. Supreme Court, encouraging they grant a review of the Ninth Circuit ruling that upheld the state's 10-day waiting period. All right, well, that would be good if they strike down a waiting period. So that's good work. And that's the thing, some of the stuff is kind of like behind-the-scenes stuff. And a lot of people I know will be like, oh, nothing's happening, no one's fighting, nothing's going on. But, court cases especially, they take a long time to go through the system. So the fact that they're still fighting and they're still, putting up cases and writing, like, legal briefs explaining why something's unconstitutional. I mean, especially the whole waiting period thing. We've heard many, many times about every other right. A right delayed is a right denied. Oh, so I can have a gun now? No, you got to wait. But you just said that means you're denying me. No, it's not denying someone to make them wait. Oh, okay, so we can make you wait to vote? No, that's the denial. You can't make us wait. It's crazy. If you look at any other thing, I know some stuff, it's not the same. But every time I hear an argument, replace the word gun with right to vote and see what happens. I saw a thing, I forget what state this is now, but they wanted to have a written test in order to buy a firearm. You had to be able to fill out a written test on, like gun laws or safety or something, and then they would allow you to buy a gun. And it was compared to back in the day when you used to have a test in order to vote. And they said, nope, that's against the rules, because that means people have to be literate, and, they shouldn't have to be literate in order to, exercise a constitutional right, which I agree with. I mean, I wish everyone knew how to read and write, but some people don't. And just because they don't doesn't mean they're not allowed to, you know, exercise their rights. So I'd be interested why there's not a big uproar on that of saying, hey, here's some, you know, poor person or whatever is disenfranchised, doesn't know how to read, and they try and buy a gun. The person hands them a piece of paper and says, if you don't fill this out correctly, you don't get to buy a gun. I don't understand how that makes sense to them. But if you ask them to do the same thing for voting, then it's a huge tragedy and they're restricting their rights. I personally think it restricts their rights in both cases. There shouldn't be a written test for anything constitutionally protected. So it's just the double standard on some of this stuff is crazy. And like I said, and the waiting period's the same thing. And especially when, I'm sorry, I'm kind of off my soapbox here, but you guys feel free to jump in. But the waiting period thing, they say it's like a cooling down period. This is their hypothetical. You get mad at someone. You run to a gun store. You buy a gun. You go back. You shoot them. That's what they think happens. So by having the waiting period, then you can't go do that. Therefore, they've just saved somebody. But at one point, somebody challenged the California waiting period and said, okay, well, what about for people who already own guns? Because under your hypothetical, they get mad at someone, they grab the gun they already own, they shoot them, and then that, you know, that's that. So that waiting period doesn't apply to them. It doesn't save anybody. And their response was, nah, we'll keep it anyways. It's okay. Which tells you their goal is not actually stopping this mythical, hypothetical person who's angry and goes and buys a gun and shoots someone. Their actual goal is just making it more annoying and more hurdles to jump through in order to buy a gun.
Less attractive.
I don't get what you mean by that.
Like, you're not going to go through all that. So it's less attractive endeavor. It makes it a big thing to buy a gun instead of just going to the store and buying a gun.
Right. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Right. And that's it's the same thing they do with, if you have to get, you know, a permit beforehand, even if, you know, like Illinois's FOID card or whatever, it's like you get the permit once, then you can have guns and whatever. But still, there's a lot of people that they don't want to go through all that stuff.
Not only is there no such case where it's been proven that somebody in the heat of the moment went to a gun shop, bought a gun, and killed somebody, there are, in fact, cases of women being killed during their waiting period. So they're documented, and it's could be looked at as the waiting periods kill more than they save. So that's another reason not to support any kind of waiting period.
I can't believe you'd even suggest that. Wait here. I'm going to go get a gun.
Will you hang around for 10 days?
No, I'm not waiting for any days.
And people wonder why there's so many, you know, guns bought from person to person instead of gun shops. That's why.
What?
Well, think about it.
I'm not going to think about it because that's just conjecture. If there was seriously a situation like that, then it would be very evident to law enforcement that people in the heat of passion go and buy a gun off the streets, and Bloomberg would have figured that out a long time ago. So I really don't think that that's a thing, that people go out and buy a gun in anger and then use it.
I wasn't talking about it in anger. I was not saying in anger at all. But, you know, you want a gun for self-defense. But, you know, let's say you're in that situation. You're a woman who's got an ex who's threatening to beat her, kill her, whatever, and you've got a 10-day waiting period. Well, it's much easier for me to go see a friend of mine and say, hey, look, I need some protection.
Oh, sure, but not everybody has those friends. It might be just a reclusive single mom with dealing with a murderous ex-husband, you know, and that's just not, it's not good for anybody.
And people don't just have guns laying around. It's like saying, hey, let me borrow my, your car. I got a drunk driving thing. Let me get your car. And just get your keys. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Thanks, sir. So I was asking there if maybe someone can play the video that I did earlier so that we can get a little update here. You guys that are listening or whatever, you can check it out on my channel as a separate thing, but I'd kind of like to include it in this one.
Green share it. Now I see what you're saying.
Yes. Because I know your speakers at least get picked up by your microphone. Mine, I don't do that because I got my headset. And it gets all messed up if I unplug my headset.
Okay, if you can hear it, I'll play it then. You want me to play now?
Yes, please.
Come on, Smeggy. You have to do that right now? Come on. See, now it seems like you're just wasting showtime doing that all the time. So please stop doing it.
All right, welcome everybody to the Every Second Matters legislative update for November 2017. I'm Smeggy, here to give you a nice quick update on everything that has happened over the past month. So let's dig in. In Wisconsin, they are considering constitutional carry. From the middle of the month, looks like October 16th. So, Senate Bill 169 would basically allow concealed carry without a concealed carry license anywhere that an individual is legally allowed to be. So, constitutional carry, you guys all know many states are going to that. It also expands some of the places where people can go. That's about it. So constitutional carry. Unless they're saying that, you know, contact your senators. I don't know. It doesn't really say where it is. I guess I could have looked that up. But anyways, sorry guys, I'm doing two things at once. So going over the next thing, Ohio has passed the bill, well, it passes the House. This is Substitute House Bill 142, passed the House of Representatives. I believe I remember talking about this last month when it was in committee or something. Basically, if you have a concealed handgun license, you would only be required to present that or legally or verbally notify a police officer once he has requested your driver's license. For law enforcement purposes. So I think last month I had mentioned sometimes there can be a gray area, even if you have a duty to inform, did you not inform them fast enough? There was a case in Michigan where the guy handed his license over with his driver's license, and they decided that that was not immediately telling the officer that he had a concealed handgun on him, and he got in trouble. So this just clarifies exactly, you only have to tell them when they ask for your driver's license, you have to say, by the way, I have a concealed carry permit and, you know, I can give it to you or, you know, whatever. It goes from there. And also it reduces the, if you fail to do that, it reduces it down to a minor misdemeanor with a fine not to exceed $25. So yeah, there's not very many this month. We're whipping through these real quick. So Illinois, trigger modification ban failed. Hooray. So House Bill 4117 went down 48-54. And that basically was would place a ban on many popular, and this is in quotes, trigger modification devices. No one really knows what that means, but they were trying to just get something passed that would you know, be able to be interpreted broadly. And it did not go through, so that is good. However, there are still a couple other things over in Illinois, since I'm here. basically a gun and magazine ban, and that would be Senate Bill 1657, and then House Bill 4107 and 4112. Well, they're all bad. Contact your representatives and your senators. Tell them not to vote for those. We don't like those. We don't like when our rights are trampled upon. All right, in Indiana, constitutional carry summer study concludes. Basically, there was a bill back in the summer. It was House Bill 1071, which allowed victims of domestic violence to be able to carry a handgun for self-defense without a license while they were waiting for their carry permit to be approved. So it was almost like a small subset constitutional carry. If you were a domestic violence victim, then you could carry without a permit right away, as soon as that like first incident happened or whatever, while you waited for your permit to be there. And after, so they said they were going to kind of study. Surprise, surprise. A bunch of people didn't go around shooting each other because law-abiding citizens tend to be law-abiding. We all know this. They seem to not. Anyways, I guess there was a vote after this, you know, study was done. 15-5, the committee adopted recommendations in favor of removing restrictions and the ability of law-abiding citizens to carry a gun. So basically 15-5, they voted to recommend going further with constitutional carry. That doesn't mean to have constitutional carry. It just means if there's a constitutional carry bill that was introduced in the future, then they would have on record this committee recommending, saying, yeah, this is a good idea. Like, constitutional carry seems fine. And Massachusetts gun ban not yet defeated. This was from Tuesday, October 31st. So basically the committee is assigned to reconcile differences between two appropriation bills containing gun control language. They met today in recess without taking action. So October 31st was the deadline, but somehow they're still going to be able to return tomorrow, which I guess was yesterday. But anyways, and so they're, I don't know if they're trying to sneak something through or whatever, where they weren't, it was supposed to be dead because they didn't vote on it yet or whatever, but just keep an eye out. And that basically is, let's see, it's in quotes here, any device which attaches to a firearm that is designed to increase the rate of discharge. So again, very broad definition. It could be talking lighter triggers. You guys all know the things. I don't want to give them any ideas, but it's ridiculous that they basically would be able to come after you for just about anything. And that's bad. So now I'll go over to California. These are actually my last things here for the month. So like I said, it's very short this month. So the governor vetoed a dealer storage bill and signs an open carry ban. So Senate Bill 464 was vetoed, and that basically would have made new mandates for storage of FFLs, gun stores. I don't think it was for private citizens. I think it was just like gun store, you know, just FFLs. But I'm pretty sure they already have a bunch of rules on what types of safes they can have or what types of locks they can have on their doors. And this was basically going to go above and beyond, forcing every gun store to turn into Fort Knox. And then, you know, it's going to put someone out of business. That's I'm sure California would have been super happy with that. I'm kind of surprised the governor vetoed it. So I don't know why. It's a good thing. But then he also signed into law Assembly Bill 7, which further restricts open carry of an unloaded firearm on public property by including certain unincorporated areas as prohibited places. So they already have a ban on open carry for loaded guns. People have sat there and said, okay, we can carry an unloaded gun though, and some people do that. I think more for a political statement, but at the same time, if that's the only way you can carry is having a magazine on one side and an empty gun on the other, I mean, you know, sometimes you do have the extra 3 seconds to load and rack the slide. It could still be beneficial. And then they started restricting on where you can even open carry an unloaded firearm. by adding some more places. And then also there was Assembly Bill 424. And that was signed the following day. Okay. So those first two were on one day, and then the following day, which was the last day of the deadline, then he signed Assembly Bill 424, which removes the authority of a school district superintendent or equivalent person from providing written permission for a person to possess a firearm within a school zone. So previously, you know, the superintendent or someone in that rank, some type of authority within the school system, could give written permission to a person to possess a firearm in the school zone. So it was at their discretion. Maybe it was, I don't know, an off-duty cop, or maybe it's a parent with a carry permit, or, you know, I don't know exactly. It could have been anyone, really. Probably different schools handle it differently. And they decided that, nope, you guys don't know best for your own school zone, so you can no longer give exemptions to anybody. And so basically taking power away from the school superintendents and the people that would have boots on the ground knowing exactly what their school district is like and if that's okay or not. So anyways, that about wraps it up for me. If you guys know of anything, you know, leave comments, or more importantly, join in on the Every Second Matters chat today. I'm not 100% sure what time it will be. It will be later today, though. Hopefully this segment will be played on that show, and, you know, bring your comments and ideas and any information you have. Thanks, everyone, for watching.
All right. Thanks, G-Webs.
Dano out.
Thank you, Smeggy.
I'm not Dano. I just kind of sound like
no, him. I said he should say Dano out.
Why would I say Dano out?
No, I said he should have ended it, Dano out. Was that you or is that Dano?
That was me. That's what I'm saying.
It sounded like Dano. I'm sorry. I just got here.
Well, that's because Smaggy's younger Dano. It's a big look.
I just got here. That sounded like Dano to me.
All right. Yeah, thanks for jumping in, Ghost. So out of all of those bills and stuff that spark any of your guys' memory, you want to talk about any of those things?
Did you happen to – I sent you guys a message about 3576. Were you able to find anything about that or talk about that yet? U.S. House bill? That one – this one's
actually – I know I mentioned it.
This one's actually important. I put it in the side chat, the link is. But this is basically a House Resolution 3576 to amend Title 18 United States Code to limit the authority of states and localities to regulate, conduct, or impose penalties or taxes in relation to rifles or shotguns. And basically, they consider anything for this bill to be any part of a rifle, shotgun, any detachable magazine or ammunition feeding device, and any type of pistol grip or stock design. But basically, what this bill, which is an important bill, it says that no state shall have the authority to impose penalties or taxes on something that the federal government has already got in place. So if the federal government says no penalties or taxes, the state doesn't have the right to start imposing penalties or taxes. If the federal government has penalties or taxes stated, the state can't adjust or amend that. It is what it is. So that's a pretty important bill right there, because it's taking some of the state powers to away from them, as far as if this federal government says one thing about rifles and shotguns, the state does not have the power then to set any more penalties or taxes against those items, which I think is a pretty – it's a bill that hasn't gone well publicized.
Right. Yeah, I believe we did talk about that last month because – well, that's it's worth mentioning again here. Yeah, it's basically like a preemption law. You know, some states have that where cities cannot be more restrictive.
Right.
And now this is the federal government saying that states cannot be more restrictive.
Yeah, you can't penalize or tax them that we've already said is okay, you know.
Right. And normally I'm hesitant towards, you know, the federal government telling the states what to do. But I guess when you're talking about, you know, a federally constitutionally protected right, then that is kind of their job to tell the states, hey, you can't trample over these people.
And that's what, to me, was important about this is, and this could open up so many doors. I'm just thinking California, you know, this could lead, I'm not saying this particular bill, but if this bill goes through, this could lead down the road to the federal government saying, look, the Second Amendment allows you to keep and bear arms, blah, blah, blah. Why are you guys, California and other states, not allowing your citizens to, you know, carry firearms or to, you know, to have these firearms? Because this isn't a state level thing. This is a federal government right in the Constitution. So I'm hoping that maybe this is a gateway to other things. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. This seems like it's a law that is already a power of the government. So the Second Amendment is the thing. This is just a law that says, remember, you got to listen to the Second Amendment. I don't need another law to tell us that we already have the Second Amendment. And then the other problem is, why does it have rifles and shotguns? Why doesn't it just say firearms?
Yeah, that's the one thing I was confused about. But I don't think this is trying to tell us we have a Second Amendment. I think this is something to tell the state governments we have a Second Amendment. And they need to
Well, I think it's too specific, first of all, I think, and it's not going to make much movement. I mean, it sounds good in theory, and it probably needs to be better written or something to convince me, but it goes against the Supreme Court. It goes against the Supreme Court ruling that states have the right to reasonably restrict whatever. So I don't know how that would affect that, how those laws would affect each other, or a ruling would affect a new law.
Unless there's some reason for it, to me it seems like any effort towards pushing that would be better suited towards just the Second Amendment.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with you. I would like to think that possibly get this in writing where they're saying, look, you as a state cannot penalize your citizens over a constitutional right that is
Did he cut out for everyone, or is that just me?
I cut out.
So Chris is saying the problem with that is the government then restricts something. The state also cannot say that they won't enforce it. So basically, if the government restricts something, i.e. marijuana, any other kind of medication, whatever it might be, then a state can't not enforce the law on it. So that's specifically the whatever 3-5 whatever it is says rifles and shotguns. So it's only about rifles and shotguns, but I guess it opens up precedent. But I think the idea of this experiment is that states do their thing and the feds just sit there and shut up. The Ninth Amendment says that whatever's not in the Constitution is up to us. So that's like having a federal law that says, except for... So I'm usually not for more extra stuff. We don't need more paper to remind us that the first piece of paper is important.
Yeah, I don't know. That's where I was saying a lot of times I'm hesitant on, you know, the federal government telling states what to do. But again, it's like, it is just basically a reminder saying, hey, the Second Amendment's a thing. You guys remember that?
I'm pretty sure that that type of legislation opens the government up to
power.
Liability. Not power, liability, because it goes against a Supreme Court ruling. So they'll be sued, and then the taxpayers will be the ones to pay when these people end up suing the government for infringement or the federal government.
I don't know about that one, but when Smeggy said the Second Amendment, it doesn't say Second Amendment. It says rifles and shotguns. So if anything, it fractures the Second Amendment and suggests that there's various levels of arms. You know, some in unoffensive arms are okay for you to keep and bear. Don't try to keep and bear the scary ones.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those. Maybe look into it a little bit more. Like I said, it has been sitting in the committee since September, so it might not go anywhere, but.
Interesting project might be to take a look at some of these and see how long they've existed. Like the Share, for example, started out being, what was it before Share? Something else. And then that had been there for years, I guess. And they just had sat on it waiting for a friendly, like Senate or House or whatever. So, and then a friendly president that would sign for it. So it might be a way to determine which of these are worth our attention as we've been doing this project and discovering firearms laws and ideally putting them over on Every Second Matters in the 2A wiki, where we try to an effort to keep track of some of these multiple bills that some of them turn into multiple laws, trying to keep track of them. Maybe one of the things that might be useful in trying to determine how much effort to give to some of these is how long they've existed. For example, if something's been there for 13 years and it just keeps sitting there, that's just somebody's pet project and it's never going anywhere. And what's the point of addressing it other than to just be aware of it, I guess. But then, you know, if something comes up out of nowhere and it's never been suggested before and it's got momentum, then we know to put our resources on paying attention to it.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. So I guess it goes both ways. I mean, we know the anti-gunners sit on bills for a while and wait for a tragedy. I mean, that's already been, they've admitted that. Feinstein's come right out and said it with the first assault weapons ban. In fact, I saw an interview before 2013, and she was talking, you know, they were talking about how the original assault weapons ban got, you know, sunsetted and all that. And her interview was like, yeah, I have another one just sitting here waiting. Like, I'm ready to go with it. So she was completely upfront with the fact that that she wanted that thing put back in place as soon as possible. The interview was back from like 2005 or 6 or something. So, all right. Well, what else is going on here? I don't know. I guess there's no reason to keep dragging it on if we don't have other stuff going on. So
it's been about an hour.
Yeah, I believe it's been about an hour. I'm more than willing. I got nothing better to do all night, but I don't want to just sit here and keep repeating ourselves or anything. So,
right. Well, again, Every Second Matters is an effort towards getting together on the second day of the month to talk about Second Amendment and to keep a conversation going, to ideally create channels, create networks, and, you know, again, have people that we can reach out to, things like the Second Amendment rallies, the 2A Capitol rallies that are happening this Sunday are another example of that, a way to exercise our muscles, a way to, you know, when we buy firearms, we go to the range and we practice with them. This is our practice for advocacy. Sometimes we're under attack, and we've been under attack multiple times since we started this effort, sometimes to more consequence than others. And part of learning advocacy, part of learning awareness in this stuff is learning when to fight and when to not pay attention and when to put more attention in and when to turn up the heat and get everybody active. And when we're just, what do they say? You know, say the sky's falling. You know, we don't want to alert people unnecessarily. I think we have a lot to learn. This last month, we had the NRA situation where, you know, a thing happened in Vegas. What date was that? That was in October, or was that September still?
I don't remember the day. I think it was in October though.
So it was right.
I think it was near the beginning of the month, but I don't remember exactly.
Okay. So we had this thing happen either in the beginning of October, late September. And then of course, like you just got done saying, a lot of the politicians are eager to jump on things that can further their political career, keep their stupid ass positions relevant, quote unquote, and then profit. Right. So, and then the news of course loves conflict, and we become the Second Amendment community becomes a massive punching bag that has an anticipated response. They know they can come along and clobber on us whenever a murderer chooses to pick up a firearm, because they know their agenda-based media is going to pick up on that and give it 100% effort at changing laws here. And so we had that situation happen, and we reacted the way they anticipate and the way they expect, in the same way as always, except for this time it went a little bit even further. And the NRA, well, we don't have to talk about all the details, but the NRA came out and made a position clear that was controversial, and that started some debate. And in the attempt to capitalize on that conversation, it was apparent that not everyone on the gun owner's rights side, well, at least let's say not everyone in the gun industry is on the gun owner's rights train, or, you know, interested in advocacy or even awareness. So that turned into what you were kind of alluding to before, the whole NRA thing. I think we have a lot to learn, though. There was, I guess it's still ongoing. So, you know, we're still seeing the ripples from that. But, you know, making lemonade from the whole situation, I think everybody can improve their channels, though what they're doing is their content. They can perhaps edit their message, so, you know, they can take an honest look at what they're putting out there and who is your audience. Are you feeding people that are here for the drama? Are you feeding people who are here for advocacy? Are you feeding people here who are just here because they're new, so for the education, or what? So I think there's a lot to learn there without getting into too much of the drama side of it. The Second Amendment, of course, and advocacy for the Second seem to be the rallying cry there. And I think now we're going to see a lot of people bringing it up more than they might have before, you know, maybe because they don't want people to just assume. And also because I'm sure the people who are here to exploit guns as a, you know, part of this, the population, and they know that they can make money from gun people, they're going to probably start wearing it just like they wear the flag. You know, they're going to have a flag with a big 2A written on it now. So I think we're going to see some changes in our own content, not our content, but in the content that's available with firearms and topics. And I think we're going to have to become savvy and get used to the way people learned from this whole month or so of controversy, and be able to discriminate going forward who's wearing it as a badge and who's walking the walk. And I think that, again, we're all savvy enough, and we have to remember that we've got the power as the audience and as the people that create content. We have the power to determine what's going to be the future of our content. And it can either be drama and petty bickering, or it can be learning from these kind of things and moving forward and just being better at everything, you know, better at ingesting content and ingesting information, and then better at passing it along and discriminating what to pass along and deciding what gets your views and, you know, what furthers the Second Amendment and the country. So hopefully I didn't get too crazy, but I think we had a lot to learn this week or this last month. And with Matt's thing, we'll have a lot to talk about next month too. Then we'll be going into SHOT Show, and we're going to be doing the 2A Summit, which, not to be confused by Matt's thing, who came up with it after we came up with our project, but we kind of stepped aside for a month there. We're going to be talking about that coming up after the 5th. We'll start talking about the summit. That's an effort that we came up with to get people across media together. So when we're talking about something like SHOT Show, a trade show that brings the industry together, we have opportunities like the NRA show and some of the other big events like the shooting events and things that happen. When we get these opportunities where the community gets together, we're thinking about trying to create a summit, a traveling workshop that'll allow the various types of media to get together. So specifically, we end up, especially since we're on the YouTube platform right now, a lot of us tend to be very YouTube or video centric, and that's not necessarily how everyone takes content out there on the internet. There's lots of people that read, there's lots of people that just look at pictures. In fact, very few people in the overall population of audiences out there have time to sit around watching videos. It tends to be your younger people and your really old people. So a lot of people in the middle there just listen to podcasts or something like that on the way to work and in traffic. Maybe they look at pictures and stuff on something like an Instagram or Facebook, and then they might read or have things read to them on an electronic medium like on a bus or a train or something. So keeping that in mind, I think that the summit is an opportunity to workshop with people that are getting information out there on different media and have different audiences, a way that we can all share our expertise on the platforms that we're familiar with, as well as the audiences, and try to get the audiences to be aware of some of the other opportunities that are out there and the power that our audiences have, and to educate our audiences how to use these platforms that we're all on. Of course, our audiences are going to be real familiar with YouTube, probably Facebook to some extent, but somebody who's out there using one of the podcasting softwares or the something that uses television or radio or magazines, imagine the power we'd have if those people were aware of what we're trying to do over here on the electronic side, and we were able to amp up their messages on the written side. That kind of opportunity we have when the whole community gets together. And then, of course, we have all the Second Amendment groups, the gun owners' rights groups that are there as well. And they're not represented so much at something like a trade show for the industry, but they are there. So it would be, again, an opportunity to workshop for 4 days. And we'll talk more about that in the future. But we do have this stuff to start talking about. And then once that's over, we've got 2018, which hopefully we'll see some progress on share. And if not, we can start strategizing how to make progress on share.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I really like that idea of the 2A Summit. I do have one last minute thing here. Thanks to Hadi for posting it. And it's over in Washington. Is the HB 1387 enhanced background check for assault weapons and large capacity magazines. And it is similar to Senate Bill 5444. Basically, it's talking about making a registry of assault weapons and their owners, required extended wait times, and then has definitions for what an assault weapon, in quotes, are. So, right, your people strongly oppose that. Other than that, I would say just everyone, stay engaged with all your local stuff.
All right, let me take another minute here. Everybody's going nuts about Gun Owners of America, and I don't think anybody's getting paid by Gun Owners of America, but they're hardly the only other organization out there. I've met the people from Second Amendment Foundation personally years ago, and I've known them for a while now. Same thing with Gun Owners of America, same thing with Firearms Policy Coalition, same thing with Firearms Coalition, and same with Arizona Citizens Defense League, Florida Carry, and some others. So I know quite a few of the people out there. I'm only saying that because just because you know somebody doesn't mean you're going to back the organization. I say let the, their efforts do some of their reputation come from their efforts. So let's take a look at FPC, firearmspolicy.org. We've actually referenced them quite a few times on the show today. When you go to their main page, it's going to give you whatever's new, right? But if you click on Take Action, the very first item at the top menu on every single one of their pages, so it couldn't be easier to find, Take Action, you'll find pretty much every bill that's going through at the state level, and you can find it easily with your flags if you can't read good, and then you can get into the specifics of them. Then as you scroll down past the states, you'll see the House and imagine some Senate. Yep, Senate bills that are in here. So you can not only keep track of what all's going on over there, but you can also click on any of these, and they're going to take you to their summary, so you can have some idea of what you're talking about if you're going to have a conversation with someone. And more importantly, it'll give you an editable thing you can either copy and paste or just send right from their website here to send an electronic copy off to your representatives, people that represent you in the federal government. So they have an excellent resource here. We talk a lot about what these organizations do out there, and they all have their strengths and stuff. FPC is strong on the web, and their website is super useful. It's an excellent tool. Thanks to Knives for using it so often and reminding the people over on Gun Channels. And again, this is something where if you want to know a little bit more about something, you're not going to necessarily listen to something like this and gain knowledge, but hopefully you can go to a site like this one and refresh yourself before you're going to have a conversation with someone or before, you know, doing your own projects.
Oh yeah, definitely. They do good work, and that's, I'll have to add that to my rotation for when I do my homework before every month, every second matters. So, well, with that, I say thanks for everyone who joined in, and thanks everyone listening and commenting along. Thanks for everyone in the future that listens to this, and I guess we'll See you all next month.
Yeah. Thanks for hosting, Smeggy.
Thanks, Smeggy.
Yeah, no problem. Like I said, thanks to you guys. I'm just a platform that is allowing everyone's voice to get out there. So
you do I'm a not alone. Job, Smeggy.
So, all right. We'll see y'all guys next month.